Today on the AV Podcast, we give out our predictions of the NBA free agency period. I invite Julian, a.k.a. Jules, the commish, to the show as we discuss the main free agents this summer. You know, basically, LeBron and them. You know, the whole Kawhi situation and everything else that's going to be going along with this offseason. Plus, we give our thoughts on the draft, and we wrap it up by sharing some thoughts on Nas's latest album, Nasir, the second-to-last release from Kanye's Good Music label, a.k.a. The Wyoming Project. All right, so South Shore Ave is available wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen and subscribe to the latest episodes on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher under the name South Shore Ave. Make sure you click and subscribe on your podcast app and rate the shows as well. 5 stars only, please. 5 stars. 5-star general. You heard me already. And as always, to listen to more podcast episodes and to catch up on my podcast catalog, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio. Here we go.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio.
What up, sir? What up, sir? How you doing today?
Good. I'm ready.
All right. So you know what? Let's start this off first. Let's start off with your thoughts on the Nas album. Actually, you know what? We'll reserve your thoughts on the Nas album. let's save that for the end of the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. I do have some thoughts.
Yes. We all do. Before we start up with the NBA free agents and predictions of what's going to happen within the next week or two, or what we think is going to happen. What were your thoughts on the draft? Seeing that we're recording this on Friday, June 22nd.
For me personally, the draft class wasn't that. I don't know. I don't really see anybody like previous draft classes where there's going to be like a superstar in the making. I know people say Ayton is going to be that guy, but I didn't see, if it's him, I didn't really see anybody else that really stand out for me. Mm-hmm. And then of course, since my Raptors weren't, you know, they never had a pick, I wasn't really looking at the profiles of these players and reviewing their tape and all that. So above all, it just seems nobody really that exciting for me. That the only person that I did like is the point guard that Cleveland drafted.
Sexton?
Yeah, I did really like him. Really liked him. That's the only guy that really kind of stood out for me, like, in terms of top 10 picks. You know, I think Ayton is going to be, like, the number one best pick overall. But I did like Colin Sexton out of all the point guards. Was he the highest point guard drafted? I don't know. No. What am I saying? Doc, Luca and then
Trae Young.
But me personally, I like Sexton coming out as a breakout player coming out of that draft.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, a couple of thoughts for me. I think, first of all, I feel like Phoenix kind of won. Phoenix and not Atlanta, sorry. Phoenix and Dallas kind of won the draft for me, at least in my eyes. I think pairing Doncic with Dennis Smith Jr. and, you know, whoever you might get up in free agency, I think that's a good look. And just future-wise, that backcourt is set. Having somebody as explosive as Dennis Smith Jr. to go alongside with a 6'8 Doncic, they kind of complement each other really well, you know, and he takes some of the pressure off in terms of playmaking as well. So I thought that was a really smart move that Dallas made. Like once Dallas drafted Trae Young, I figured for sure, obviously, he was getting moved, but I just didn't know for who, you know, at first, but but seeing how that felt, I thought that was really cool. And then not just the fact that Phoenix got Ayton, of course, so we all knew that was pretty much coming, but the fact that they swung the deal and got Mikal Bridges to come over from Villanova, I thought that was actually a really good look, considering that they have a pretty good array of offensive guys, young offensive guys already anyway. The fact that he plays, you know, like he's such a great versatile defender, long arms, you know, hits the three, and you compare him up with somebody who's just as lanky as him and Josh Jackson. You got, you know, you got Devin Booker, who's, you know, looking like he's going to, well, we'll see what happens, but it, most likely he's going to sign his extension.
Coming up,
especially because they picked up Ayton. So they got a nice little nucleus. Finally, they got something that you can actually say, okay, like this is something we can kind of build with now. Maybe start flirting with the eighth spot of the playoffs instead of racing to 55 losses every single year.
Yeah. No, you know what? I do like what they put together. I can't believe that they made that. I can't believe that they got that deal done with Atlanta. That's unbelievable. And you know what was that was gut-wrenching to watch Bridges being traded. I don't think he even knew during the post draft presser when they had, like, you know, they were talking to him and his mom and whatnot, and they really hadn't traded. So I thought that was my highlight.
also wasn't Doncic's mom coming down the stage? There wasn't
no that too. That was my highlight. I shouldn't say Bridges was my highlight, but that was like that's what stood out to me. But yeah, I couldn't believe it, man. I thought that was his girlfriend. I thought that was Luca's girlfriend. She looked good. She looked real good. I know she got makeup and you do all that, but still, even with makeup and all that, she still looked good. So I ain't taking nothing away from her. But going back to basketball here, yeah, Phoenix looks good. They got to mix in a few more vets in the off season, and I say in the next 2 to 3 years, if players continue to progress the way that they should, eighth seed, I see that happening too. Because the bottom of the West looks bad, man. The bottom of the
West. Yeah, it really does.
Real bad. So really anything could happen. Oh, I also want to talk about Michael Porter Jr. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? I don't blame teams for skipping out. Like, no, the guy had a back surgery, man. Like, I know it's not like it wasn't like a super long back surgery. They said that the type of surgery he had, he was in and out of the hospital within the same day kind of thing, or within 24 hours. So it's not like a super invasive back surgery, but at the same time, it's back surgery, man. Like, and not just that, but, you know, he spent, what is it, like 2 weeks ago, he was like bedridden with like hip spasms and all kind of stuff. And he had to cancel workouts and different things. So, like, I understand why teams would be like, I don't know about this guy. Like, I get it. Because imagine you draft this kid fifth overall, sixth overall, and then it turns out that his body can't handle the rigors of the NBA and his back can't handle the rigors and the physicality of the league. Like, you're basically getting fired for that.
Yeah.
Even though the guy is super talented, you're going to get fired for that. So I don't blame GMs for skipping out on it. Because, I mean, really and truly, if this guy was – I had a conversation with a couple of people. I know with different teams out – like, they're fans of different teams in later in the lottery, like the Knicks. One of them was the Hornets. And really and truly, I'm like, if this guy was healthy, you wouldn't even have had the opportunity to even draft him anyway. He would have been, like, this either the first or second overall pick. Like,
agreed.
Kid is talented. Kid is crazy talented, but – And I'm hearing now that Denver is looking to possibly redshirt him basically for the whole year, let him just get completely right, which is actually not kind of a wise move. You know what I mean? If you want get the most out of his potential. But again, it's a back surgery. Like 19, you're already having back issues to that degree. Man, you know how it is, man. It's not going to get easier.
No. Especially with an injury to your back. Your back is like one of the, you know, it's so hard to explain. Like, once you injure your back, and depending on what kind of surgery it was done, I don't know if it was even released. Was it released? Or what was actually done or what was wrong?
From what they said was that he had a bit of like a spinal leak. So the kind of damage he had, like a little bit of like spinal leak came out. Oof, which caused the issues.
So fluid,
it's never good. It's never good. I don't care how simple it is. It's never good.
No, that's not good. That's not good. They might have seen some type of fluid, or it could be an infection.
Right.
That's not good. Those things linger. Oh, and that causes coordination issue. Oh, man, that's like a lot. That's a lot. Okay, now I see. And they might redshirt him. I would not, if I had to redshirt a top 15 pick, 15, unless he's top 5, I'm drafting him. I'm not doing that with Michael Porter. Now I can see why. So Denver's might redshirt him for the entire year.
They might, yeah. At least that's what's being talked about. Because I mean, if you're gonna invest a future in this kid, because you're like, again, this kid could be a superstar if he's healthy. So
I know.
So it's kind of like the same thing of like what Philly did with like Ben Simmons and all these guys, and they just redshirted everybody. So I get it. I get the perspective.
Those guys
were
number one overall picks.
Was that?
But they were number one overall picks.
Yeah, true. True, but well, I mean, but again, it could exceed. Like, if I'm Denver, I take the chance. You know what I mean? At that spot, and look at different options of what to do with his career. But you know, if I'm Sacramento, if I'm Atlanta, man, you cannot drop the ball on that when you're in that high of a spot in the lottery. You can't.
No, you can't. Or New York, like I think that's what the fans were booing, right?
Yeah, but
you know, they like they wanted him. I know Knicks fans.
Knicks fans will boo anything, man. Like,
they
booed Porzingis, so you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move into the prediction portion of this podcast here. You know how it is. Starting July 1st, basically, the NBA free agency is going to open up, and the landscape of the NBA might possibly change again. LeBron James being the number one guy that everybody wants. He's the Thanos, you know. He's everybody's trying to get that dude. So you know, we'll start with him. May as well start with him because I mean we're probably gonna spend a good portion of this talking about him because he's the one that's gonna basically nothing can really go down until LeBron makes a decision. So this is like the third time in his career that he's had the power to control free agency with whatever decision that he makes. Because depending on what he does, all the dominoes fall basically at this stage. So this is the last time and probably in his career that he's going to have the opportunity to do that to this degree. So I don't see him not taking advantage of that and taking at least a week to make a decision and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll ask you straight up, where does LeBron end up in the next couple of weeks? Or with how fast the NBA offseason moves around, you know, by the time this podcast is released, where do you think he's going to end up?
I still think he's going to go to L.A. I still think so. If it's not L.A., I think...
The Lakers, you mean, right?
Yeah, sorry, Lakers. I think he's going to the Lakers. And if it's not the Lakers, I think he might stay back in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. At first, like, towards watching the playoffs, I was 100% sure he was leaving. 100% sure.
Right.
And I was almost like 90% sure he was not going to the West. 90% sure. During the playoffs, I was watching.
Right.
That's what I was thinking. But now, seeing and reading and hearing potential players move around and whatnot, I think he's going to the Lakers at this point right now. But because Cleveland just doesn't have the assets. And I guess it all depends on what he wants, like what he's looking for. Is he looking to win championships still? Maintain his legacy and all that, or is he really just looking to just keep his family happy? Because I think he said something like now his family has a bigger stake in his future now, more so than, you know, when he made his first decision and whatnot.
Right.
So now he's thinking about the family. I don't know how much that
is true.
Is that is true, or how much is that going to trump over winning championships and his legacy and all that?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's the family, you know, you heard his son, you know, got into a school out in L.A. He could be closer to his son by going out there. You know that they have a house, like his real house, like he lives out there. If that's the case, then it's L.A., right? And you know L.A. can bring in other pieces as well. So that's why I think it's L.A. The only reason why I didn't think it's the West Coast is because with Golden State, Houston, that's going to be hard to get through.
Yeah.
Golden State alone is going to be hard to get through.
Yeah, and I think the West, I mean, the West has always been the stronger conference, at least for the like many years. Let's face it, man. It's never easy to go through the Western Conference.
Exactly. It's more of a grind.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's more travel. It's more. The stronger teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to wear and tear on you for sure.
Yeah. And at this stage of his career, it's like, is he willing to go through that grind? So, you know, that's the other big thing, too. Like, you know, it's funny, Julian, like when they made that trade and flipped over half the team just before the All-Star break, I was one of those people that was like, yo, straight up, this is probably like the best kind of team for LeBron. Like, it's not necessarily a super team in this case because the only other like All-Star that you have is Kevin Love. But I'm always of the theory that he makes I don't think he makes every single person better. I think he makes role players really good.
Yeah,
you know, like he doesn't raise the value of a Dwayne Wade in his prime. You know what I mean? And then, you know, look at the history of those super teams, especially when he came back and had Kyrie and Kevin Love there. Like, somebody has to sacrifice. You know, I mean, one of those guys has to sacrifice, and it's not LeBron. So, you know, so Kevin Love took the back seat. When it was Miami, Chris Bosh was the one that took the back seat. And, you know, you look at those factors, and I'm like, in this situation, like, you have the core of the roster is, especially after that trade, is a bunch of young players that's willing to listen and do anything that you want them to do. You know what I mean? So if you want them to spot up and shoot threes, they're going to do that. They're going to do basically, they're going to try to learn from everything that you're trying to do if you're patient with them. So, you know, so to be honest with y'all, I was like, yo, that's kind of like the perfect team for him. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean he's going to win championships. Probably not. But really and truly, that's the perfect team for, because look at it like this too. Like LeBron doesn't run an offense. Like he doesn't run in an offense. The offense is LeBron. So it's basically like he's not going to work off the ball. You know what I mean? Like he's not doing certain things. Like he's not going to run like a triangle offense or, you know, run a pick and roll offense like Houston. Like he's basically doing what he needs to do. And then, you know, if people collapse, he's kicking out to those guys. Different things like that. But like he doesn't work. Like think about even with Miami. Like when he was in Miami, like he didn't take off until Wade took the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because the offense was kind of running through the two of them, and it wasn't like it wasn't getting the best out of him, right? So I don't know.
If they had like a training camp, more time to bond in the off season, more time for the young guys to know how to play with a superstar, because those young guys were coming from organizations, well, for the most part, where they can ball hog and shoot, put up their shots, and you know, so it was a major adjustment for those guys coming over. So that's why it didn't work out as well. But I do see your point. If LeBron can make these young guys better, right? But the young guys already had a like bad habit, it sounded like, or a way of playing, and they had to change their game so much, and it came to a point where they got nervous and they weren't playing well. Like Hood is way better than what we saw. It's way better, because in Utah, he was coming off the bench. He was starting. He was hitting. Oh, he was
18 and amazing. 18 and 8.
He was a legit sixth man or starting player, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He came over to Cleveland. I swear, he was a legit 12th man. Like, he was nowhere near. Like I didn't even want to. And what's his name on Clarkson? Like, I'm not saying Clarkson was great as an amazing player, but he looked like shit in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a much better player in L.A. Now, mind you, in L.A., you have no pressure. You're losing. Just a bunch of young knuckleheads. You can put up shots. So don't get me wrong. I know that. But he's much better as well in Cleveland than what we've seen. So, but yeah, but you're right, though. I do believe that he can make those type of young guys and make it work. I don't know if he can make it work next year, like to win a championship though, with that squad. But that squad is garbage.
Right. and well, I wouldn't say garbage, but I will say they're definitely not going to be a favorite to go to the finals next year. Especially
If that same team returns, even with LeBron, I don't think they make the finals. I think other teams are getting better, like Boston and Philly, and they had a tough time getting through Indiana. It was just my crappy Raptors that made them look like a half decent team, right? So, yeah, no, I don't see them making the playoffs unless they make more changes. And the more changes you have, it's more adjustments, and it's not that easy, unless you're bringing in stars, all right? So.
Yeah, and a couple of things. I agree in the sense that I actually think this decision is a little bit more complicated than people realize. I don't think it's necessarily because of the whole family aspect necessarily. I'll take them out of the equation. Like to me, obviously, yes, if he's going to go and leave Cleveland again, LA is probably, the Lakers is probably the best setup, you know, just business wise, is direct access to Hollywood. It helps him become a billionaire, you know, type of athlete. He already owns two mansions in Brentwood. LA has the cap space for the next 2 years. You know what I mean? So, but at the same time, it's like, you know, as you alluded to before, like, what is he trying to establish? Like, if he's trying to further his brand and become a mogul, then LA is like the best move. But if he's trying to win a championship, I'm not sure if LA is the greatest move.
Yeah.
Even if like Paul George or Kawhi comes there, it's not, it's still not a guarantee they're going to beat Golden State. Like to me, the only way you're beating Golden State in the next few years is if they, you know, they, because wear and tear finally catches up with them and major injuries happen with one of those four guys, especially Steph or KD. Or if Draymond and Klay take more money elsewhere. I think that's the only thing that, like, you almost kind of have to wait out the next couple of years and see how it plays out. But, like, you know, it's not a guarantee that you're going to make it out of the West. Like, shit, it's not even a guarantee you're going to be a participant in the finals, you know, coming from the West. You know what I mean? And like I said, even in the East, it's a tougher situation with Boston and Philly coming there. Outside of Golden State in the West, you still got Houston. Depending on what they, if they, even if Houston runs it back, they're still going to be tough, you know. And I'll say Minnesota, depending on what they can get out of Wiggins, Lord. But you know, but what I'm trying to say is though, it's like it definitely ain't a cakewalk in the Western Conference. And then the other part of it too is, listen, man, like this isn't like Golden State where Golden State didn't win a championship for 40 years. Like, this is the Lakers. Lakers expect championships. You know what I'm saying? So if you, like, put it this way, if LeBron James goes to LA and they don't, and he doesn't bring a championship, you know, back to Lakerland, he's going to be the first superstar probably in the history of their franchise that did not win a ring. Seriously, think about it. Take it back from friggin' George Mikan. You know,
Jerry
West won a ring. You know what I'm saying? Wilt Chamberlain won a ring. Kareem won a ring. Magic won a ring. Shaq and Kobe won a ring. Those legendary superstar type of players that the Lakers employ, they all have that one common denominator. They've all won a ring. Well, the exception of Elgin Baylor, if you want to throw that out. But they've all basically brought a ring home. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that would tarnish his legacy?
I don't think it's a good look if he goes there and doesn't win a ring. And it's like I said, again, to me, it's not a guarantee that he's going to win, at least for the next couple of years. And then if, you know, gravity or father time or whatever you want to call it finally sets into this guy, and 2 years from now he's not the same and he can't carry a team to the championship anymore, what's going to happen there? That's the real pressure. Like, you know, LA is kind of like New York City, like when it comes to basketball. Like, you don't win a title. Like, it ain't a good look, period.
No, I fully hear you. I never looked at it like that.
Yeah. To me, that's the way I see it with LA. And then even the whole situation with Philadelphia. Like, I think for me, I have a couple of reasons why I think Philly's a bad matchup for him personally. Like, first reason is a very selfish reason. I just don't want him getting the credit for whatever Embiid and Simmons does, because you know that's what's gonna happen if they go and they win. And it's not gonna be anything to do with, you know, those guys growing into their potential. It's gonna be, oh, they weren't nothing until LeBron showed them the way. And I think those guys are too good that Adidas, like, they don't even need him really truly, because they're still so young. The expectation of them winning a championship isn't there yet, because they're still so young, you know what I mean? So they don't need him to, like, come and win a title. Like, it's not like win now mode. Like, they got so many years ahead of them. And then to me, the other part is LeBron is the offense, and who's gonna sacrifice out of Embiid and Simmons? You know, it's not gonna be him, at least for the next couple of years. And if you're Philly, like to me, Julian, why would you want your two young studs stunting their growth?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it'll be more of a business venture as well, more as much as basketball related. If you bring in a guy like LeBron, you know, you're selling like TV deals, everything. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I agree. You know, and that's why I came down to the decision that it's going to be down to L.A. or Cleveland. There's not many options now when you really, really look at it. Yeah. Not many really options.
Yeah. And then he came out this week, and, well, Chris Paul came out this week and allegedly said that he's not a fan of, like, the city of Houston. So he's probably not going to Houston. And then I don't even think so much that. I think, again, you look at somebody like James Harden. When James Harden doesn't win an MVP or get the full recognition that he deserves league-wide, yo, this guy goes into a sulking tantrum. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I mean, you remember when I think he came runner-up to Steph Curry like 3 years
ago.
This guy spent the entire summer complaining that he didn't win MVP.
Yeah, so, he was salty.
He was very salty. So now, unless something happens, he's going to win his MVP next week. But, week. But with that said, you think he's going to take a step back and give that team to LeBron? Are you crazy? I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. And then the other part of it, too, is like, LeBron, in the last podcast, I said that LeBron is like, he's the forefather of player empowerment, right? And a large part of it is that since he went back to Cleveland, I've never seen a player have so much power over a franchise, like both on and off the court, you know what I'm saying? So for me, when I see that, I'm like, what other franchise can he go to where he's going to get that same kind of power? Because to me, it's not going to be L.A. Like, as much as power is in limelight and respect, that's still Magic's team. That's still the Buss's team. Like, he's not going to overpower them. You saw what happened in Miami. Like, Miami, that was Riley's team. Doesn't matter what he did, that's Riley's team. You know what I mean? It'll forever be Riley's team in that sense. So, I mean, maybe Philly might be a place where you can kind of do that, but like somebody like as strong-willed as an Embiid, I can't see him stepping back either. You know what I mean?
You know what? It leads me to say this dark horse team, Toronto Raptors. That's the only other option now. Now that we're like talking about it, that's the only other option.
Come to Queens Key. Forest Hills got great schools.
He loves Toronto. He loves Toronto.
He really does.
He loves coming here in summer and on the road playing his games in Toronto. He does. That leads me to believe that Toronto is a dark horse third option. L.A., Cleveland, or Toronto. We have DeMar. We have Kyle. It sounds like it, man. Definitely sounds like it. You never know.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm joking.
I think Toronto. I think Carabana will start actually a month early if that was the case. I guess we're kind of in agreement
paper,
there.
On paper, Toronto isn't that bad though.
No,
if he'll stay in the East, he has like perennial All Stars right now, and look, Kyle and DeMar. Mm-hmm. We have a good young core. On paper.
Honestly, I've always said who I think is probably another team that I think is a dark horse that could actually be they're missing a superstar to kind of take them over the top because they're so well coached and their role players they get the most out of their role players. Ironically, is Miami. I don't see him going back. I don't think he will go back. I mean, mind you, I was dead wrong the first time when he went to Miami. But I think Miami's kind of, when I look at them play this year, I'm like, yo, they're missing that that superstar player because they got all the good role players and they know what to do. They play hard. They're well coached. You know, management's gonna do what they can to make them win once they get to that elite level. But he goes back to being, with his boy Wade. And on top of that, you got role players that are willing to, they're willing to play with him and they all play hard. Like they all keep themselves accountable. Every one of them. Like that is a system where it's like, I don't care who you are. If you ain't practicing like I'm practicing, I'm gonna get in your ass. I think
Miami would be.
Miami would actually be a pretty good spot for him to land again. And I mean, and again, his family's used to the area. They've lived there for a few years, so it's not like it's foreign to them. That could be an option too. That's like my dark horse. But I'm with you. I think the final answer to me is L.A. I just hope to God it's not Philly. But other than that, I think it's the Lakers if it's not the Raptors, he's not coming to Ajax to live in Ajax. Then it is what it is. Next up will be the Spurs situation with Kawhi Leonard. I'll ask you this question right now. Do you think that Kawhi Leonard is going to be on their roster by the start of training camp?
Man, no. No. It would be. I thought about this. We talked. Not we, but I'm talking to other chat groups and whatnot. and it would be too much of a media circus. Mind you, he might not even show, he wouldn't even show up. But even if he decided to play, it'd be too much, too much attention, too much wrong attention, negative attention on the team. Mm-hmm. And that's not the Spurs culture. Would he sit out? Who knows? But and then third point, you can't bring him back because then you're not going to get much for him the more he stays on the team, because he only has 1 year left, right? Like, so you're going to get a player that came out and said that I'm going to LA no matter what at the end of next season. So the longer he stays on the team, the less value you're going to get in return. I really thought that they would have made that trade with the Clippers. I heard the rumor Clippers want him bad. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They were trying to convince him to Tobias Harris and their first pick. And I would have done that. I would have taken the deal if that deal was still on the table. But, he's gone. He's gone before like around July 1st, I would say.
You think he's gone like in a couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah. The longer, at this point now, the longer they wait. Like, I know Pop went to go see him, and I think I read a report that Pop still thinks he can convince him to stay. I don't think so. So the longer he stays on the team, on the roster, the less his value becomes. So they got to trade him like as soon as possible.
Well, for me, I always thought, like, I think two of the best places for him to go, just in terms of San Antonio just reaping back some assets, is obviously L.A., the Lakers with because right away I'm thinking either – I'm not even thinking Lonzo Ball, because I don't see any way in hell that's going to work with the Ball family with Popovich. I think Popovich will retire first before he has to deal with the Ball family. Like LeVar Ball will drive Greg Popovich out of retirement 100%. Yeah, I mean, really and truly, I think, like, Kyle Kuzma – like to me, if I'm San Antonio, I don't want to – I'm hanging up the phone – unless I hear Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram as like that has to be first. That has to be like the starting point. Send me those two players, and then we can work some stuff out. But if I don't hear at least two out of those three players, specifically those two, I got
then what? Then what? Phone. Then what?
Well, I mean, the other option is Boston, right? Because Boston has all the young. They have a bunch of young players, future first round draft picks. Like, they got assets that you could flip back.
So you know, if you're Boston, you would trade these picks for a 1 year rental?
Well, I mean, and that's the part, right? Like, you gotta get some sort of confirmation that he's gonna sign a contract past 2019.
He said it. He's going to LA.
Yeah,
and he seems like a type of guy like who doesn't say much. That when he says something, he means it.
He means it.
You know, and you know, like, you know, I looked it up. He lives nearby there. He's like an hour drive away from home. He seems like he's the type of guy that he wants to be close to home. He doesn't. I don't know. He's interesting. He doesn't talk, so I don't know how to read the dude. But him not talking lets me read him as a guy that is introverted and seems that needs to be around familiar people and friends, like not the limelight, like New York. I read that report. He wants to be, like his agent says, he wants to be in a major market. Get out of here. That's not his personality. What is he gonna do? Market what? What is he like trying to market outside of basketball?
I know.
But so I see him being traded in the next couple of weeks, early July, and but Spurs have no leverage here, man. Like if LA says we're giving you a bunch of bums, I don't know what else they can say. Well, what can they really say?
Kuzma and Ingram.
But then LA could just say, you know what? We'll wait till next year. We'll just sign him outright.
but you know what though? You're right.
Why would they trade the farm when they can just sign him next year? Wait for 1 year.
Yeah. But then I think the other part of it is too. You don't know what Jerry West and them have cooking to the Clippers, because he prefers to go to the Lakers, but. The Clippers have a pretty good organization right now, so if they can put something in place for him, you know, I don't think if he ends up with the Clippers, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for him. I don't think this his family's gonna be mad that he's playing for them. So that's kind of why you for the Lakers you kind of don't want to wait too.
Yeah, you got one leveraging. You got one. So it's like buying a home.
Yeah,
you got a secret bid. secret bidder, like the real estate agent tells you, I got a secret bid coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta
exactly.
raise your.
I agree with the whole big market thing because I've been saying that for the longest while. I'm like, the guys are mute. Like, where is he gonna go? I'm like, unless silent movies are making a comeback and he's gonna, you know, Charlie Chaplin is back hot in the game again, then I don't understand how that's gonna happen.
Yo, you know? The guy does not talk even throughout this whole controversy.
I know.
I haven't heard him speak. I literally have not heard him speak. I don't think I've heard him speak even coming into last year when he was hurt.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know what though? Before I get my answer, I gotta give props to the Spurs, man, because you gotta think about it. For like almost 30 years, they've like essentially started using this star grooming model. Like, what was it, like 29, 30 years ago or 31 years ago, whatever it was, they drafted David Robinson. They stashed him for 2 years. Then they had a succession plan in place. You know, they lucked out and they drafted Tim Duncan, who basically took over the team when Robinson started breaking down. And then, you know, he was okay with completely giving the whole mantle, like just giving the whole, you know, the King's throne right over to him, like from the time he was a rookie, which at the time I thought was weird until you realize what kind of a great player that he was. And then realizing how bad, you know, Robinson's health issues was, especially back, like his back and stuff. They did a great job surrounding him with great players, you know, guys like Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili as like the mainstays, you know, and through their time, they started sharing more and more responsibility, you know, like with along with Tim Duncan. And then Popovich had the foresight to draft Kawhi when nobody saw this guy becoming one of the best players in basketball. Like I think building Kawhi's career to this extent, I think it's much sweeter just because at least you knew Tim Duncan and, like, you know, going back even further, David Robinson, you know, those guys are going to be, like, no doubt about it, Hall of Famers. But, like, building Kawhi from the ground up, that has to be, like, as a coach and as an organization, that's got to be one of the most rewarding things you can ever do. Because think about it, like I always said this, like, I think if Kawhi Leonard was on another team, he's not Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. He's just a high-level role player. I think they literally got the most. They got the most and more out of this guy's talent. And then from now, like, you know, you get to this point, and now this guy won't even answer your drunk text.
Which makes it even more mind-boggling.
Yeah.
The team that drafted you, as you said, cultivated his game. You have one of the best coaches and maybe that we've ever seen, and you're not talking to them, and you want to go. I'm done. They hurt my feelings. Like, it's just mind-boggling. But again, we know he has a personality flaw issue. That's not even a question. There's not even a question without him. Like, I'm telling you, just by looking at him, I never seen him smile, let alone talk, Calvin. I haven't seen him smile on the floor. So it's like there's something going on behind the scene, but it doesn't affect his game on the court. That's for sure.
And I'll say this. I think it leads me to believe that it has to be more than this quad issue, because there's got to be. You can't just tell me it's because of the quad. The difference is to the extent that you want to be traded. I think it's got to be more than that, man.
Like, we hope so. We hope so. Yeah, but again, I'm telling you, mentally, I don't know. He sees something that we don't. Maybe it could be. Come on. Tony Parker is one of the most, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, but seems to be the most, like, respected player in the league, and Manu as well, and he was hurt by Tony's comments and all. Like, come on. I don't know. He sees things that maybe we haven't seen, or there's something, as you said, that's happening behind closed
doors. That's deeper.
Maybe somebody's girlfriend or wife. Who knows?
Well, that's what I mean, right? I mean, Tony Parker's one of the most respected guys, but Brent Barry. I'm sorry. My throat. My bad.
That's me. True. Who knows, right? In this NBA lifestyle, that lifestyle, what the hell's going on behind it? So true. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But I don't want to allude and say, you know, reckless speculation to this extent. But honestly, it's got to be. I think it's just got to be something a little deeper, man. Because I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. Like, teams kind of go through those situations, man, and then they work that out. Like, to me, I'm kind of still like, man, they could work this out, right? Like, I'm still kind of like that, because I'm
and
like,
whatever. Whatever it was, or is, like, it currently is. It can't be worked out. It can be. Anything can be worked out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it doesn't have to come to this point where I want to be traded. Like no matter what it is, like I can't say no matter what it is, but for the most part, it can be worked out, especially in that organization.
And then the other part again, though, Julian, is, yo, Spurs are the only team that can offer you the Supermax. $219 million over 5 years in a tax-free state. You're giving that up? Like, you're not going to make that endorsement money playing with I don't care.
He'll make some of that money up, though. Although, actually, California is heavily taxed. But he'll make that money up with playing in a larger market. That's for sure. But you're right. Actually, it'd be interesting to see the breakdown of how much he loses. He'll definitely come out in the negative.
Oh no, he's gonna have to, because even if he makes some of it up in a large market, he's not gonna make all of that up. He can't, because of his personality.
Yeah.
But again, unless he's peddling, you know, Charlie Chaplin video games or something. Like, I don't, like, how is he doing it? I don't understand how he's doing it.
Oh gosh. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they can get for him and what his value is, and and yeah, what happens.
But my final prediction is I think he will actually be there at the beginning of training camp. I wouldn't be surprised that if he does get traded this summer, and I'm not saying that he won't get traded, but I'm thinking that the Spurs is gonna take their time. I don't think they're gonna rush this. They're going to try to talk to him as much as possible. Listen, and while doing that, they're going to try to look at all the options that's available.
Listen, if it wasn't a business, they would have let him sit. They wouldn't even trade his ass. And if they did, they would trade him to a team, whatever, like who they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But it's a business. That's not happening.
But again, you know, you gotta give a nod to somebody like LeBron James for this fact. Is, again, player empowerment. Kyrie Irving kind of used it last year, right? Where he used this the year before his contract season to use his leverage. That's the main thing, right? Like, it doesn't matter where you get traded to. Like, back in the day, you know, you had 2 years left in your deal or whatever. You had another year left in your deal or so. You're like, your other team is like, all right, bye. Like, remember, like, a few years back, that's what happened with Deron Williams in Utah. They just flipped him over to Brooklyn. They're like, okay, you got a year and a half left. We're hearing rumblings. You don't want to stay. All right, we're gonna get rid of you. Gone. Bye. See you. Mm-hmm. You know. But now players are like, okay, well, you could trade me to Brooklyn, but I'm just gonna tell, you know, Sean Marks, or whoever the GM is, that I'm not signing with you long term. So you can take this deal, but know that you're gonna get you're basically losing me for nothing. Yep. And now it's flipped everything over. So it's a leverage pull. And I'm just shocked that it's Kawhi Leonard that's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just shocked that he's the one that's doing it. Next up, we got Paul George. Will he actually leave Westbrook? Do you think he's going to go to the Lakers as well? Like, where do you think he's going to go if he doesn't stay in OKC? What's your prediction?
It's LA again. It's LA. So my guess, if he does go anywhere, is LA.
Yeah.
To answer another, I don't know if you asked this question, is he going to be staying in Oklahoma City? No. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. No. I know he feels loyal to Russell, and I think he wants to stay. I don't think he wants to be deemed as a player that bounces and leaves teams. And when I think, but deep down in his heart, I know it's only human nature, even as a viewer watching him play, that you can tell he wants to go. Not wants to go, but like he wants to go to a better situation, better city, play with somebody else. You can see his numbers went down. His numbers went down. So it's not just on a personal level, like, but just all around going home to LA, and that's where he's from, right? And potentially LeBron going there, and the media, the circus. Why wouldn't you want to go? You want to stay in Oklahoma City with Russell to get bounced in the first round? It doesn't make any sense. So no, logically thinking, no, he's leaving, and he's going to go to LA. Or to another major market city again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing about George, he has been able to thrive his whole career being in a smaller market. And I don't think he's necessarily minded it, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, yeah, like, he's thrived in that market. And then, you know, big market is always going to have an impact. But at the same time, with the way, you know, we've discussed this before, or I've discussed it in other podcasts before, but, like, with the way social media is and everything is now, like, you can be a superstar, a super duper star from whatever franchise you're playing with. I mean, I think his teammate this year, Westbrook, he's proof of that. You know, mm-hmm. like, he's one of the biggest superstars, top five popular superstars in the NBA, and he plays in a city that's probably, would you say the population is probably not as much as Brampton?
Basically.
Right? So, you know, I mean, I know it's America, but still, like, it's a small market that he's playing in, and you couldn't tell by some of the endorsement deals that he has, and it's like, he's a superstar. It doesn't matter where, I think in the NBA now, it's like, I don't think it matters necessarily where you are. Like, you could, if you want to be a super duper star, it doesn't matter where you play. With that said, I'm like 50-50 on this, because really and truly, it kind of depends on what's the situation with LeBron James is. You know, but I'm like,
What do you mean? Like, if he signs with LA or not?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if him and LeBron have this conversation of wanting to play together and stuff, then yeah, I think he's gone. But it's kind of like what you said about LeBron earlier, about if he doesn't go to LA, he's going to stay in Cleveland. I kind of feel the same way with Paul George. I think if he doesn't go to LA, I think he's definitely coming back to OKC. I was actually kind of surprised that publicly, like, how much he enjoyed playing with Westbrook. I was actually kind of surprised by that, and I think he really appreciated the public support that Russ showed him, like, throughout the year. So, but I think part of it is, well, a couple of things why I think if I was him, I would leave Westbrook, is because I think one of the biggest things is I think until you get a new coach, I don't see how you can stay playing with Russell Westbrook, because I think at this stage you need a coach, a strong-minded coach that can kind of rein Russ in at certain points. Because I think if anything from what that playoff showed you in Utah, this guy will go off the rails at a moment's notice. Like, he will deviate from all game plans and just think of himself, you know, and all aspects. As great as Russell Westbrook is, like, the way he got baited into certain situations against Utah this spring was embarrassing. You know, and I think to me that was like, if I'm a free agent, I'm like, man, do I really want to sign up for 5 years of this guy with this coach? You know, and nobody can rein him in. I'm like, I can't do that. You know, but I'm not Paul George. But if that's me, I'm like, if you tell me right now, I mean, I don't even know what coach is kind of out there that can kind of rein him in, really and truly, at this stage. But if you can get a strong minded coach that can come in there and kind of like. Like I said, rein him in certain points, then I could probably stay. And or if they get a legitimate point guard that kind of like a Rondo, like if they steal Rondo away from the Pelicans, that's not a bad move either, because now you have somebody there that you know for sure is going to make all the right decisions, you know, at least 90% of the time. And you don't have to entrust Westbrook to make those kind of point guard decisions 100% of the time. And if that's the case, then maybe I might stay too. But, you know, like I said again, if I'm Paul George, I can't fix my future to that. I can't. Like, that's gonna give me ulcers.
I for those same reasons, I don't see him staying.
No,
unless he sacrifices and decides to stay for the look that it may give across to the media. But he shouldn't play into the hands of how it looks. He should just do what he wants to do. And if he's smart and if he's being true to himself, he's not staying.
All right, so the next player we got here, Chris Paul. So I pretty much think that Chris Paul is going to stay in Houston. But my question to you is, I'll put it to you like this. Here's my question. Chris Paul is getting more than 3 years on his new deal. True or false?
Yes, true.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, but like, I wouldn't want to do it though. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to do it though, but he will get it. If it's not from Houston, he'll get it from somebody.
Oh, you think he'll get 4 years at least with somebody else?
Oh, not for sure, but yes. But if it wasn't like 30 other teams in the league that weren't vying for him, then I would say no. Meaning like, if logically nobody should do so, right? Because he's hasn't played a full season in how long? And
if at all, yeah.
How old is he now? 30,
33, 32, 33.
Yeah, 33, you know, with his injury prone history and getting older, that just equals even less games than he has, right? Played up to this point. So no way I would give him max. No way. And not just the injuries, not just the games being played. That means his game is gonna, like, you know, as you get older, your game is gonna be,
it's gonna regress.
Not same. Yeah, it's gonna regress. So all those factors, you don't give a guy 4 years, right? But I can see a GM. There's always a GM out there, man. There's always somebody out there that's willing to do so, or to take that chance. So yeah, he'll get it. But if you ask me if you should get it, no. But he'll get it.
You know what? I think that you can't give him. I think you got to give him the Lowry deal. I think you can give him the max, but I think it can't be more than 3 years. I just, honestly, from what you said, just the injury history, number one. And as long as Mike D'Antoni's the coach and the way he's notoriously known for wearing guys out, not in terms of like mentally, but just physically, because he never plays, especially going into the playoffs, he never plays a deep lineup, a deep rotation. When it gets to the playoffs, she's shortening that bitch to like 7 at most. To me, I think that's one of the reasons why I think they messed up losing the Golden State, because he shortened that roster too much, that rotation too much. And I think Chris Paul, like, you know, pulling his hamstring, mind you, we had hamstring issues throughout the year, but guys like D'Antoni doesn't help. Like, I still remember, like, I don't want to blame anybody for blowing an Achilles, but I always felt like he's partly responsible for why Kobe blew his Achilles. Like, back when that season he was coaching the Lakers. If you watch, I remember watching that game when that happened. Like, this guy, Kobe was in year 15, year 16. This guy's playing all 48 minutes, and he's getting, like, tossed to the ground. Like, not clothesline, but, like, he's getting hard fouled, undercut. Like, this, the type of fouls he was getting, I'm like, when he finally blew his Achilles, I was like, oh, no kidding. I'm like, I'm surprised he didn't break his leg. You know what I mean? Like, but like, from Stoudemire all the way down, like, it just finally just burns guys out physically. You know what I mean? Like when you're a star player, he is riding you out. Like, his mentality is, you're a star player, you're getting all the minutes. And as a player, you know, of course, you're not going to be like, well, I think you should rest me. You know, maybe I should play 30 minutes, coach, because, you know, like, you're a competitor. You're going to want to play every minute you get. But, like, physically at this stage of his career, I don't think. And they managed his minutes pretty good this year, at least during the regular season. And then he got hurt still. But then to me, like, when he pulled his hamstring against Golden State, I was like, this 7-man rotation stuff doesn't work. So to me, I'm like, as long as D'Antoni's a coach, I think it's a perfect situation for him, because he doesn't have that responsibility more of completely running the team. You know, like, that goes to James Harden now, and that's okay, because James Harden is that dude. But to me, I'm like,
you think
can't.
He's staying? He's staying.
I think
he's getting the money.
Well, I think he's getting the max in terms of, like, the amount of money. I just don't think he's getting 5 years. It's kind of ironic, because with him being president of the CBA and LeBron being vice president, they kind of, you know, with the PA and the commission, like the commissioner and the other owners in the league, they collectively bargained the extension of how does it work? So basically, if you're a max player, right, the oldest you can be prior to them collectively bargaining the new deal is that if you're a max player, the oldest you can be is 31 years old. You can't be past 36 years old, still on a max deal, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but now they extended it to 38. So, oh, wow. And it worked to their benefit, because both of those guys are 33 years old.
Yeah.
They can basically just, you know, go on and they wanted to sign a 5-year deal right now, both of them could do it and still be making $40 million at 38 years old or whatever it's going to be at that point. But I think it's ironic that both of them, you know, they kind of set that up. And now it's working in, like, it's working to the point where I don't think LeBron's going to do it, because, well, if he leaves Cleveland, he can't sign a 5-year deal with the Lakers. He's only going to be able to sign a 4-year. And then the way he's been playing it out the last few years, he kind of loses his leverage if he decides to sign a long-term deal, you know, because he can't do the 1-1.
Yeah.
So he kind of loses out there. And then with CP3, you can't give him a 5-year deal, because you want to pay him at 38 years old, $40 million? Are you crazy?
No, he's not. Yeah, he's going to want and push, just like what Lowry did last year. You know, he was upset he didn't get it. But And I think CP3 right now, I think I read that he's upset with how the negotiations are going. Like, you know, these guys, you know, it's all about gaining leverage on. They're going to push for it. And if Houston is smart, they'll give him 3 years max.
Yeah.
Max.
I don't think you should do more than that. His injury history isn't the greatest, and it's only going to get worse going from here. You know, he's not a super finesse point guard. Like, he gets in the mix of the stuff. You know what I mean? He's a scrappy defender. He's not afraid to get physical. He's not afraid to go into paint and take a little bit of the banging. I don't see that his health improving going forward. In that case, if he's already got a suspect injury history going, you know what I mean? Like, every year he's always going down. He never finishes the season on his feet. You know, so that's the way.
So let me ask you a question.
Right. Go ahead.
If you're the GM,
yeah,
and you had to give the max money to one of your players, and it came down to Capella and CP3 right now, because I don't know the whole cap situation. If they give CP3 what he wants, can they re-sign Capella to what?
Yeah,
he wants? I don't know.
I believe they can. They can still match it depending on. If another team doesn't do a poison pill kind of deal and screw up Houston in that aspect where it kind of screws up their cash space if they sign Capella to, like, say, like, whatever the maximum is for him. I think the most he can sign is, like, 20-something million, I think. Something like that, I believe. And, yeah, it's...
Let me rephrase it. Mm-hmm. Who would you rather, if you could only give that money to one of those players right now?
That is a tough question because you need them both equally, I think. That's a great question. Because of youth, you want to say Capella, but Capella's not the same guy if you don't have Harden and CP3 feeding him. You know what I mean? And the three of them, I mean, you can't lie with the stats. Like, what did they lose? Like, one game together during the regular season when the three of them were on the floor at the same time?
Yeah, something like that.
True. Yeah, so I think you
good
equally.
Point.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Need,
I don't know.
They need each other.
They need each other, yeah. I hate to say push to your question, but I think I'm gonna have to answer it that way because I think they both need each other. They all need each other in that sense. So I think Houston, I think unless somebody signs a crazy deal for Capella, he's coming back. I think you run it back. You're so close against Golden State. If you open up the rotation a little bit more, maybe you actually win that seventh game. You know, so you never know. And now, like I said, with the way, you know, this situation with San Antonio is working out, it's really just you and right now it's just you and the Warriors. Because like I said, unless LeBron's gonna get Kawhi and Paul George to come there, I don't see how that's gonna work. You know, I don't see how like LeBron's gonna come and just usurp Golden State from their throne, you know, from the same conference. I don't see it happening.
It's going to be an interesting offseason.
Oh, no.
Again, the NBA, that's one of the great things about the NBA. Their offseason is almost as exciting as their regular, maybe even more so exciting than the regular season.
Yeah, no, for real. For real. It's like, you see how we are every year. It's like a holiday, man, the free agency period. It's like a damn holiday. All right, so, you know, last but not least, we're focusing on these five players. DeMarcus Cousins.
He's getting lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna unshuffle him. We're gonna bring him back and bring him back to the pedestal.
Top
right
of
now.
The deck.
Yep, put him back to the top of the deck. The Pelicans don't sign Boogie to a max deal, but do they even sign him at all?
You know what? For me, you know, whenever I'm listening to interviews or podcasts and questions are brought up, I always like to hear the respondents say yes or no first and then give their reasoning. Mm-hmm. So I don't hate hearing that political type stuff. So to answer your question, I say no. If I'm guessing, if I'm trying to predict the future, I'm guessing no.
You don't sign him back?
No, they had such a good run without him. Mm-hmm. They played well with him just before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but they just proven now that they can go far and win without him.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I would not do that based on what I've been able to see in the playoffs and how well they can play without him. Now, can they be better than that with him? Yes, I can. I think they can. Can they be worse? Can he like affect the chemistry and what they've been able to develop and achieve without him, yes, it can go either way. You don't know, with, especially with him, right? Yeah. So I if I'm, and then coming off that injury, man.
I know.
For his size, he was always like a, he wasn't the most, he's not the most athletic big man. Well, most big men are not athletic, right? But he wasn't like a guy that was high flying. He was barely can get off the ground right now, but he was so good at using his size and getting into position and his strength. It's going to be interesting into what he can do with coming off that injury. So do you want to take that risk and give him that money too, coming off that injury with his size? He was always like a laboring center, slow moving kind of.
And not necessarily a workout warrior.
Yeah, yeah, he never really had the muscular physique, you know. But again, the guy can hit the three. Oh, he's talented. Man, he was a fantasy stud this year for me, man. Stud, like rebounds, assists, threes, blocks. Points, like, yeah. I don't even think there was a category that he wasn't touching.
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Like, you know, looking at it from a fantasy point of view, but he was an amazing player, like, to have on your squad. But they weren't winning as much. I would say no. I would let him walk or sign a trade or whatever you can do and get something back for him. But he will get his max. I think he will get max. He's too good of a player not to get max, even coming off that injury. Too good of a player at that size, especially. There's not many bigs that can take mid-range jumpers and threes and efficiently. He's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a player that
kind of like almost
Randolph.
Like
a Zach Randolph.
Yeah, like a Z-Bo.
Just in control all the time when he has the ball in the post and can make things happen, right? Now, that knuckleheadedness is still there, so that's another thing you're going to have to worry about as he gets older, right? And as he plays in the league, he's not changing, but in a way, I like it. Like, that's why he's so aggressive. He's like that Draymond Green type of personality, right? So it's infectious and it works to his advantage too, right? But so nope, I wouldn't. If I'm the Pelicans, and I will try to make probably do a sign and trade or something.
Yeah, that's a tough part with what he went through. Like, I actually feel sorry for him because, again, you know, as you
said,
because the guy played amazing. He played amazing.
I know, I know. I just said for him because he's so freaking off the wall. Crazy,
I know.
Crazy.
but I think he played amazing this year. And, you know, the last couple of years, to be honest with you, the last two years especially, he's been awesome. But my issue with him is, well, a couple of things. Obviously, you can't not address the knucklehead stuff. And for everybody that says he's matured, I'm not saying I don't disagree with that because, you know, he did seem a little bit more level-headed this year. It could be the combination of Gentry because Gentry's like a player's coach. It could be having somebody like AD there, some Kentucky guys, you know, like Rajon Rondo, you know, certain guys like that may have a calming influence on him too. Hold on a second, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other part, again, could that have been a calming influence because he's also with his contract year?
Yes, that's what I was going to get to.
Right. You know, so there's that too, right? So you don't know if he gets that five-year deal, then he's going back to being Boogie again, flipping tables over, you know? You
give a man security and who's emotionally unstable. Right. I don't care. He is emotionally unstable. And you give a man 5 years or some max money on top of
He's comfortable.
Oh, in that first 2 years, he's doing whatever he wants to do.
What does that line Kanye say? What is it? Excuse me? Was you saying something? You can't tell me nothing.
Exactly. And it does. Nobody can say that it does not affect you and how you think and how you act when you get that contract.
Yeah, because so you're secure.
It affects you, you know? So I don't know if you're going to bring this up, but look at Dwight Howard. That just shows you how important chemistry is, right, to a team and how it can affect your teammates and an organization as a whole.
I know.
I don't even know where he's gonna go.
I don't know.
Like, what team would take him now? Like, at this point, like,
he might. Like, honestly, the scary thing is he might end up being a backup player and has nothing to do with his talent. Like, it's so weird, man. I don't understand. Like, yo, the guy actually had a pretty good year last year.
A really good year. Like. And they wanted him away. They traded him for nothing.
I know.
Two second round picks for Dwight Howard. that tells you again, like, behind the scenes, even at this stage in his career, he's still bringing some type of negative influence that nobody wants. You know, he's still immature, still probably not taking it serious or whatever. Yeah. The case. His personality just doesn't mesh with a team. So I'm just saying, going back to Cousins, like, he was really good last year, but that has to be taken into consideration when any team that's going to sign him, right? Yeah. Not just the Pelicans. Any team, whatever you have right now, you're bringing in a guy that has a history of emotional outbreaks and issues. And you're going to bring him on your team, so you got to think about it.
Yeah, the guy.
And you're going to give him a contract. So
The guy, but the talent, though.
Just like Howard, the talent is undeniable.
Yeah, the guy averaged 25, 13, and 5.5 assists.
I'm telling you.
Like, it's incredible. He was a beast.
He was a beast for me. He was a beast.
Yeah, he's incredible. But, and that's the funny thing. It's not to say that him and AD didn't work well together, because they did. They did. Like, they actually worked pretty well together. But you saw, like, in the playoffs, you can't deny the fact that AD was unleashed. Like, you know,
I couldn't believe it.
He was, oh my God, as great as he is, he played so well to me where I was like, man, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Cousins, because if this is going to be the guy that's going to play pretty much every night, I'm like, you know. And then the way Mirotić was playing as well as a stretch four, like, he works so well with AD, it wasn't even funny. To me, I'm like, I'm not sure what the cap space situation is with, you know, because we're doing this kind of off the cuff. So I'm not sure the luxury tax situation is with the Hornets, or how much players they could sign. Like, if they don't sign back Boogie, like, is that gonna...
Pelicans, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. If the Pelicans don't sign back Boogie Cousins, like, is that gonna leave them with a ton of cap space? I'm not sure. But if it does, I would kind of like lean towards trying to like stack your team with like really good role players around Holiday, Mirotić. Mm-hmm. I'd even sign back Rondo to a reasonable deal, because like he handled that situation really well, you know. And to me, he played incredible. You know, especially after Boogie went down, he played incredible.
He did.
You know, and just in general, like, he played really well. He was like the old Rondo. So to me, I'm like, I kind of would like focus on those four, as hard as it is with Cousins. Because again, between the temperament and that injury, man, it's gonna take him at least 2 years to get back to where he's at. You know what I'm saying? So I even though he might be healthy next year, I don't know if he's gonna be, you know, like, he's gonna have those little injuries. Yeah, you don't know.
No, it's gonna play in the back of your mind. It's all subconsciously. It's gonna be back of your mind, not to hurt. It's gonna take a while.
Yeah, and
but he'll be the same. He'll be like, you know, he'll be effective and maybe even worth a max contract at a point. But it'll be a while. It'll definitely be a while.
Yeah.
I don't care what any of those guys say, like the agent or teams or whatnot. It's gonna take a while.
Oh yeah, for sure. And he got injured like in January, so it's like, even if he's ready by training camp, he ain't gonna be the same. It ain't gonna be the same guy.
So where can he go? Like, if he doesn't go back to camp, like, these big men, right? Like, who needs a big man? Like, I haven't looked into it, but like, it can't be many teams out there.
There's a few, but I mean, it's, again, it's like, for his situation, competitive wise, like he can go to Cleveland, but you know, you can put him together with Kevin Love, but I mean, LeBron's probably not gonna be there. You know, like, it's interesting. Maybe New York, he goes to Porzingis, but Porzingis is also nursing, coming back from an ACL tear himself. So, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough situation. Like, the teams that I'm thinking off the top of my head, they're all lottery teams, basically, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if in a winning situation, like, by all accounts, I'm hearing that the Pelicans are trying to do what they can to bring him back.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be necessarily surprised if they did come back. But I mean, but you can see the scenario where I'm telling you, like, after the way they swept up on the Trailblazers and what AD and Mirotić was doing, you got to think they're kind of like, because you know Mirotić is a free agent too, so you know they're kind of thinking like, it would be cheaper to bring back Mirotić and just fill this roster with other good players.
Yeah, you know? Because at the end of the day, it's also about matchups and matching up against Golden State and whoever you see in the playoffs, right? So. Mm-hmm. You need like another, like, you got AD that can play the 5-4, but you need somebody that can match. They need a small forward in the worst
way. Oh my God.
Oh man. In the worst way. So
Solomon Hill. Solomon Hill is starting three. That's the name that
came to my head. Yeah, that's exactly. Man. So if they want to like strategically look at their roster and think proactively against the teams like Golden State and whatnot, then they need a small forward. Another big man.
I'll be honest. That's a team Paul George should go to.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Seriously speaking, that's a team he needs. If I'm not thinking the Lakers, if he likes New Orleans, honestly, what can you imagine him, AD, and Holiday? That, holy shit.
Ooh, shoot. My God. I thought about that, too. I did think about that.
Especially defensively? I hope he's one of the guys, if I'm the Pelicans, I'm hoping he's taking one of my meetings. Because to me, if he can go there, holy shit. That might change some things in the Western Conference.
Even if LeBron went there, it would be a nice team. Any team LeBron's on, but you know what I'm saying.
But with AD there, and George is young enough where, that window's open for 5 years at least. You know what I mean? As long as everybody can stay healthy. Vaughn Paul George, you're not worried about playing in such a major market all the time. You know, again, you've done it most of your career. I think, honestly, the best look, personally, to me, I think it could be the Pelicans. I'm serious. With AD, with AD, and then what you're getting from Holiday, you're getting a couple steady years from Rondo. You know, if you can sign back Miritich, that's a hell of a team, man. That's a hell of a team. But, I mean, you know, I don't think that's going to happen, but, I mean, that's something. If I'm PG-13, I got to give that some considerable thought. Let Boogie go to LA. Fuck it.
New Orleans sometimes gets forgotten as well.
I know,
Toronto in terms of good teams that just need a couple pieces to, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? Speaking of which, I'll wrap this segment up here with this. Fred VanVleet. Do you think he leaves the Raptors and joins Casey in Detroit?
We are trying our darnest to get rid of Powell, man. We're trying, man. We're trying to get rid of contracts to re-sign him. We're trying.
Hurts me when he said it about Powell, man. It hurts me when he said it about him.
That was my prodigy. He was the guy that I was I was hype on him since summer league. And we've seen, I keep saying this, we've seen what he can do. So we know the potential is there. So there's always a potential for him to bounce back. I'm not going to write him off, right? But it was just sad to see a whole entire season where mentally he couldn't get it together and whatnot. But that being said, I see the Raps wanting to re-sign VanVleet, and that's why I'm also saying, I'm not saying this, so I want to say this clip right now. I'm not saying he's a Lowry replacement, but I can see how the Raptors could trade Lowry and re-sign VanVleet to play that point guard, him and DeLon Wright kind of thing, and get a nice piece for Lowry just to change things up. But they need to free up some money, right? So to answer your question, do we do it? It really all depends if we can free up that money. If we can package Lowry, I mean, it's easier said than done to say to trade Powell with $10 million on his contract. But
I know.
You can do it. You can do it if you package him with I hate to say this, but a future protected pick, or package him with Valanciunas, get back something, you know, that's not really what we want, but it frees up the money, right? So I know we're trying, and I hope so. I don't think VanVleet is an amazing, I think he's on the board, on the cusp of being a starting point guard. I don't even think he's a starting point guard yet, but he's good enough to play a 1-2 punch, starting backup point guard on the team. So I hope so. If we re-signed him and made all these trades and to free up money to do it, yes, I would be happy.
I want to say it in Jack Armstrong's voice. FVV! Is that how he says it?
Yeah. And he's the type of guy that VanVleet makes other players better. You know already what type of point guard I like. So he's the type of guy. He's something he's not even spectacular. He's not even explosive or just whatever. I don't know how he does it. He sees the floor so well. He's efficient. And he makes everybody feel comfortable, easy to play. They're just on the court and they're doing things that they don't normally do because he's on the court. When he was hurt, the Raptors bench was average.
Yeah.
Right?
He's the one that made it special.
Yeah. So anyhow, and they see something in practice And they seen something in him before the season started when they traded away Corey Joseph and all this.
Yeah, of course.
So it's not just what he does on the floor during the game. The Scout, the Raptors organization, they saw something, right?
And he's worth it. And Masai, we trust, man. So, I agree. Yeah. Like, once they saw different things where they're like, we could take the chance with him and DeLon Wright running it. And he's one of the guys, like, he's the leader of the second unit. He made them special, right?
Exactly. I'll trade Lowry, man. Like, he's been the number one guy on my team, like, right now. Like, he's still, you can get value for him. Like, not to the point where, like, a DeMar, but you can get value for him. I would say trade Ibaka's ass right the hell out of here. But there ain't no fool in this league that would take him. Like, I'm being honest with you.
Not for $20-something million a year.
No. Even for just 2 more years, not a chance. So the guys that you can trade is Lowry and Valanciunas. And there's, like, teams that want a point guard. Like, if Houston can't get somebody, it all depends. Stuff like that, right?
And I guess Powell, too. Like I said, the Powell thing is tough because to be, like, it's interesting because, at least with Powell, like, you know he's always been in and out of Dwayne Casey's doghouse. And the fact that Dwayne Casey's not here now, maybe things might open up for him. Maybe he's not looking over the shoulder every time he makes a mistake. And maybe he's allowed to play more freely because, when you have a free and clear mind when you're playing, man, that changes so much things. And he's talented. Like, to me, he's almost like he can almost be like the Toronto version, like a John Starks. Like, he brings that kind of intensity.
Yeah, he's scoring mentality.
Yeah. He brings that kind of intensity when he's playing. He's not he's not going to headbutt you, but but, he's going to do his thing. He's going to play hard every night. You know what I mean? So. Which I love. I love Powell. But I'm like, the fact that, like, you can't deny the fact that he was always kind of looking over his shoulder. He was never totally comfortable with Casey.
Listen, I agree 100%. And when they offered him that contract and he signed it, I thought we got a steal. I swear to God, I thought it for sure. The reason why I thought so, because they offered it before the season started last year. And I said, shouldn't Powell wait and play out through the – and I would say this in my chat. Why would he accept that now, knowingly, like, he's going to be, like, one of the six men off the bench? And I was saying all this stuff, and I was like, man, it was a great thing he signed it because Van Vliet took that role. He basically was supposed to be Van Vliet last year.
Yeah.
And now Van Vliet's looking for the money, and we're trying to get rid of Powell.
Yeah, so
that's the thing. When you sign guys long-term, and you draft, and you bring in guys, and you never know what can happen, man. You can sign somebody you're happy with, and you draft somebody, and you're like, holy shoot, this guy's good. We don't need him anymore.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the Raptors, they got some young pieces. Like, I always say, it's just the shame of the fact is that the young players aren't experienced and old enough yet to take fully advantage of their playoff contending status, or what we thought was a championship player contending status, or at least most people thought. You know what I mean? So
listen,
it's going to take some time.
Just to quickly say, yes, it's true. But I didn't expect them to beat Cleveland, so I'm going to say LeBron. But I did not, I keep saying this over, not to be swept. Even with the young guys and not taking advantage, and teams think, I actually thought they had a chance to beat them, but not get swept.
Oh, well,
every year they lost to LeBron, and it's disgustingly. They lost terribly.
Well, I was going to say, I think you laid it out painstakingly with your heart bleeding on the last podcast you're on, I think.
Oh, that game won.
The Raptors wrap-up podcast. You need to listen. If you want to hear Julian Bear's soul, you need to listen to that podcast again. Let me tell you that right now.
You know, I haven't even listened to it again because I refuse to. I usually listen to it myself just to hear. Let me see how I sounded. Did I say anything correctly? Incorrectly? That one I didn't even play. I didn't even want to listen to it. That one would have hurt. That would have hurt. Like, extended the hurt, the pain for another couple more weeks.
Now, before we wrap up this podcast, as promised, before I wrap up, I will say again that yes, the NBA offseason is probably one of the most exciting periods in sports, at least for me. All the movement in July is like, it's everything for us, man. Like, we eat up all the rumors, I know we're not the only ones that are on different chat groups going crazy. Every basketball fan is sharing articles and memes and all kind of stuff that's going on, and podcasts and different things, hopefully including this one. Well, better be including this one. And everybody's just going crazy with just with the what everything that's happening, the chatter. right? So that's like the most exciting thing. Like the season ends and you're not like, I gotta wait till October. Like now you're like, nope, it's July. Free agency, July, you know?
Let's go. The draft in June, July free agency, summer league.
Yeah, let's go.
And then next thing you know is like training camp.
Yeah, basically. And then God forbid there's a world championships or the Olympics and yeah, now we're all over it again. I'm telling you. Then basketball has become a 12-month a year sport because all the stuff with Team Canada, we're watching not even the senior team, we're watching the under 17, under 18 teams, and you know, like we're all in it now, you know. So yeah. It is what it is, but I mean, to wrap up though, I'm gonna go on another separate note. One of the icons of our generation in terms of hip hop, Nas released an album called Nasir. What was it, last week?
Yeah, it was about a week or so.
A week or so ago, and we're gonna have a podcast, or I should say, I'm gonna have a podcast on the music scene, you know, in the next couple of weeks, especially regarding good music. Kanye's label and the things that are going on over there. So I'm going to kind of reserve my thoughts for that pod, but being a fan of hip hop, what was your thoughts on Nasir?
Let me say this clearly. If anybody that doesn't know, or you know, nobody knows who's listening, that I'm a Nas fan, huge Nas fan, huge Queensbridge fan. From like Tragedy to Capone and Noriega, Royal Flush.
Don't you got Mobb Deep tatted on your back?
Oh man, man, Prodigy, rest in peace. But yeah, so huge QB fan. But yeah, the Nas album, I was expecting more. I expected more from Kanye. The beat, like the production, I expected more. Here's the thing. Like I keep telling people. Even though you're, if you want to say like an older head MC or whatnot, you can still make bangers. I don't understand why a lot of these MCs like in our generation don't want to make even the bangers of the 90s era. You have an album of 8 songs. You make 1 or 2 bangers. I don't get it. I mean bangers like production, like Made You Look or whatever, something like that that gets you hype. And then you have other like kind of melodramatic beats and whatnot, but to me this was like a 3.5 mics out of 5. I liked it though, don't get me wrong, but I expected so much. And then last but not least, I couldn't help not taking the Kanye factor of his knuckleheadedness and his just the stuff he's saying, and knowing that like I'm angry. I'm angry at him, and at the same time I don't want to like
the it's stuff he's putting out. You're carrying that baggage with you to listen to Nasir, basically.
Yeah, I am. Because I'm still pissed at him. It's like, you know, it's like that ex-girlfriend or somebody you're happy for, but you're not, you know, you're not really, depending on how you break up. But I can't get that out of my head. Like,
yeah,
I can't. Like, I don't want to support.
You want to get all Jamaican and tell him to go jump in the gully, basically, is what you're saying.
Basically. Yeah. Basically. But anyhow, generally, I thought this. It was only 8 songs too, like
seven.
Maybe yeah. I like Bonjour. There's maybe 1 or 2 tracks that I thought, okay, nice, all right. But let me be clear. I liked it, but I was expecting a lot more.
Okay, fair enough. And I'll just add this before we wrap up. Where's the drums? That's all I'll say.
Oh man,
where's the drums? Where's the drums, Kanye? Where's the drums? No, honestly speaking, where's the drums, man? Where's the drums? Where's the bass line? Where's the drums?
And again,
I like the album a lot, but you know, I'm a Nas fan too. He's probably my favorite hip hop artist. Kanye is, and I'm gonna dive into this like in a couple of weeks, but Kanye's missing. The new Kanye now is really true, that rest in peace old Kanye, the old Kanye. Like, we missed the old Kanye. That shit is for real, because the new Kanye doesn't put a lot of heavy beats, heavy bass and drum lines, and you know that shit that makes you like, even that song Ye Versus the People, like that you know, the one he did with Tip, like that song would have elevated to me on another level if you had some like a hard bass line and something that's like, because it's a beat that wants to knock, but it just ain't knocking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's missing something. And I've been feeling that with Kanye, at least with this album. It's like The beats are nice. The beats are cool, but it's like, it's like, it's not, it can take you to the edge, but it's not. It's like a hitch. Yeah. It's almost like when you're downloading something like a file and it's like, it just keeps doing the hourglass. It keeps circling. Like that's what you keep, you keep waiting for it to finish. And it's like, it's not quite finished.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what Nas with me, I don't know for you, but Nas is, his only knock for me was his ear for beats, his instrument.
Right.
That was his only major. Well, he had maybe what? For me personally, that was my only major knock.
Major flaw, yeah, for sure.
Flow, voice. I love everything. But just, so when I heard Kanye's producing it, executive producing, whatever, you think, okay, now he's finally gonna get the production that we all been waiting for, all Nas, all fans. And to me, it was like, it was good, but not like, shoot, iconic. Like this is the best album. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, that's my opinion. But I still bump it.
I'm still, like I said, going. You know, I say that to say I'm still listening to it. I'm still playing it every other day. But it's probably because I'm such a Nas fan that I'm gonna just pretty much rock with it. But
yeah.
But at the same time, it's just to me. I'm like that's the one thing I have to say. Drums. Where's the drums?
I want to listen to it again to see what you're saying. I listened to it maybe about 2-3 times, so I'll listen to it again to clearly hear. If there are any drums at all, but that's Kanye. That's Kanye. That's the day of it, today's beats and production. Anyhow, you don't hear that much drums.
Yeah, no, it is what it is. All right, brother. On that note, thank you for coming on the AV podcast, man, and you know, sharing your thoughts on you know the NBA, the offseason, our predictions, the draft, Nas. You know,
always a pleasure. That ball, football. Music is always a pleasure. I don't mind. I love it, actually. It was cool.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. I definitely appreciate it. You know, the next thing we're waiting for is where your brother's gonna go play next.
We'll soon find out.
Yeah, we'll soon find out for real. You know, like, you know, we got a couple of years, man, to drink that, you know, the Agostero at the Stanley Cup. I know, I keep ignoring my I keep doing it on purpose, but yeah. we got a little bit of time left, man, but you know, hopefully he picks the right spot and, you know, makes him happy, you know, and he gets the benefit of everything, you know what I mean? Like,
we'll try to get it in for you. We'll try to get it in.
Yes, 1000%. Thank you all for tuning in to the AV Podcast. And as usual, I'm grateful for you lending me your ears. Special shout out goes out to Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, for coming through and providing his thoughts and predictions on the NBA free agency period. Look, last year I tried to do this with my guest and friend Will Strickland, and the podcast totally blew up in my face while I was editing. Between CP3 getting traded to Houston and Paul George heading to OKC, plus some other moves, I barely got through putting it together. It remains to be the only podcast that I made that I had to scrap. So I'm just glad we got to do this early enough, at least, you know, earlier this time. And whatever LeBron James decides is going to have ripple effects all across the league. Again, that's if he leaves Cleveland. And we got to keep watching what happens in San Antonio as well, because, I mean, it still blows my mind that that situation hasn't resolved itself yet. But you know what's more important than all of that? It's the fact that you can catch all of the South Shore Ave shows wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen to the episodes on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe to that and to check out the Foundation website and to listen to my entire catalog of podcast shows. Make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAve.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAve.com. And remember as well, season 3 of The Stoop is upon us. Season 3 of The Stoop will begin next month, the mini podcast summer series, which is going to be filled with fun, loose topics and conversation, plus some interviews. So make sure you stay tuned for that, all right? Cool. For Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, this is Cal C. And you've just tuned in to the AV Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next podcast, folks. Peace. We out.